Leviticus chapter 23, title this message, Patterns and Figures of the True. This is a long chapter, but I think to get the point across, I could have picked any number of chapters. I just happened to choose this one to get the point across of the message. And I want the whole chapter read aloud. I'll probably get some of you to help me. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to the holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. And holy convocation ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, that's interesting. It's good. George is over working on it right now. He's listening to the message. But that's a good point. And I want you to hear this. These are the feasts of the Lord, even the holy convocations which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. These are just the feasts of the Lord. These aren't the offerings. There's offerings and feasts. If you've read anything in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and Exodus, it's just filled with them, you see. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day it is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Anybody getting tired? We're having church here. You see? And the meat offering thereof shall be 2 tenth deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Okay? Did everybody get that now? You've got to do this. You're out there in the desert. You have to do this thing out there in the desert. Okay? Now, brother, I want you to read through verse 32.
And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven, and they are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of the harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, and the 1st day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowings of trumpets and holy convocations. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the 7th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement, It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in the same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from amongst his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people.
Go ahead and read the next two verses.
You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month, at even, from even until even, shall you celebrate your Sabbath.
There you go. Jeff, if you would, come off mute. Can you read the remainder of the chapter for us, please?
Yes, sir. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And it is a solemn assembly. Ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. A burnt offering, and a meat offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings which ye give unto the Lord. Also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of fig trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord.
Amen. That's one chapter of all what we consider the Pentateuch, the first five books. By the way, Jeff, you sound like Alexander Scorby. Yeah, very, very easy to listen.
Man.
Very easy to listen to. And so, my question to you would be, you'd really have to take notes. And if we were doing some of these things and we're keeping track of these feasts and these ordinances, and this is just one chapter. And so as you read these things, a lot of people, they just scan these things and they don't really delve into them. But this is the way it was. This is the way it had to be. And if it wasn't that way, the penalty often was death. So I would ask this morning, are you under law or are you a son? That's the question. You're either a child of the flesh or a child of the promise. Okay, now let's turn to the New Testament. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Made under that law that we just read. Okay? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Do you see it? He bought us. Those that were under the law, he bought us, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, if you look, go to verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. And you go to verse 28, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. In verse 31, so then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And when you read that in light of this whole chapter, one chapter of Leviticus we just read, I don't know about you, but I'm really enjoying that freedom. Okay? How truly incredible. Turn over the next chapter, Ephesians, next book in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to read verse 11 through verse 15. These are glorious, glorious verses. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, in the past, do you see that? Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. He abolished in his flesh our enemy, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That's my testament. Right there. My testimony. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in one time, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, look at verse 15. And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the righteous that were under the first testament, they were under that first testament. Do you say that? And they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, we see verse 16 and verse 17. This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I mean, it's finished. Do you see? All of the ordinance, sacrifices, laws, they were all earthy. They were all fleshly. And they were patterns. You see, verse 23, patterns and figures. Let's see where that. Verse 23 and 24 back in chapter 9 of Hebrews. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Patterns and figures. But now we've, you and I, the true, the real. It's finished. Verse 25 and 26. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, all those things, similar to those same patterns that we read, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now sadly today, most so-called conversions are but patterns and figures of the true. We still have this thing. And I've seen it all these decades, watching it in organized religion. Oh, it's changed. The patterns and the figures have changed, but it's really still there. And those who experience such, they remain yet in bondage. Yeah, they're not in bondage to taking the seventh lamb on the fifth day on the third month, but they're in bondage. And they've never been made free. Never entering into his holy rest. Why would I ever have to ask anyone to be a son of God? Why would I ever have to give an invitation to be a son of God? Some of you, I listened to a preacher yesterday, and I made some notes that he had said, and I've had this message for it, but the Lord didn't have me preach it. I was going to preach it this past Wednesday, and I know now because it wasn't finished. And he said something. So he said, unbelief never turns to belief. And how true that is. Unbelief never turns to belief. Want, need, and necessity rule the day of salvation. And he said rightly, and you'll hear me say, would any hungry man make a decision whether or not to fill his belly? I pulled up a hymn this morning. Some bluegrass has never seen. Where could I go but to the Lord? Do you know anything about that? See, that's it. I had no other place to go. Yes. It was finished. I had no place else to go but to the Lord. I was hungry. I was thirsty. And did he not say, if any man thirst? If you're thirsty and that water's sitting there, that's what it's going to be. Sir, would you like to come drink this water? Get out of my way. Do you see how that thing is? Why should I ever tell a son of God to be holy? Do you see the ridiculousness of it? And now can you put that together with and it wasn't ridiculous at the time, but when you contrast it with things like Leviticus 23, and you contrast the Old Testament, and you contrast the New Testament, you see, why should I ever tell a son of God to be holy, to do this, or to do that, or to say this prayer, or to be baptized, or to speak this way, or to dress this way, or to act this way? You don't have to tell hungry people to eat. You don't have to tell starving people, come and dine, if it's before them. And I'll go a step further. Who need be told to breathe air? We've taken the supernatural from the new birth of God. Who need to be told, oh, you need to drink some water? Or to walk, or to think. A child of God has a nature, a supernatural new nature, a holy nature, the very mind of Christ Jesus. And it's not an offering like a Cyber Monday or a Black Friday, do you see? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've been there many times. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. verse 9 through verse 16, but as is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, would you have an invitation? And you have a young lady sitting up beside the altar and say, anybody want to love her? Anybody want to? Oh, I do. And they go up and go, yeah, I do. And all the young men, they go up. They don't love her. How ridiculous. I didn't choose to love her. Think about it. I didn't choose to love her. Something supernaturally happened. I like that one. I like that one. It's before me. That's the one for me. Nobody said, well, how about that one? How about that one? That's the way they still do it in the old countries. They arrange these marriages. Yuck. Okay? You see. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And sadly, most that I've met in religion and in church today and organized, they're but patterns and figures of the true. And they have no mind of Christ. And they have no law of God within them. They've never been supernaturally born again. They only know what they've been taught. They only know what they've been told. It's not their nature. Someone gave them a plan, as Leviticus 23, and voila, salvation. What happened to you today, honey? Oh, I got saved. Really? But sadly, not the true. You see, the true needs no man to tell me. The true needs no man to tell me. You know, remember the one in John chapter 8, woman caught in adultery? Jesus looked at her and he said, where are those thine accusers, woman? Hath no man condemned thee? You know what she said? No man. And then the glorious words of our Lord, neither do I condemn thee. Amen. Amen. He said, go and sin no more. Amen. Okay. They don't tell him that at the altar. Go and sin no more. Well, you can't tell her that. Why? Well, because she's not really born again, which is, you know, go and sin no more. Did she need anyone else tell her not to commit adultery again? No. And finally, we'll go to Romans chapter 2. My favorite book. Gotta have Romans. Romans chapter 2, verse 13, verse 14. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So, oh, well, wait a minute. No, I don't have to wait for anything. He said, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by what the nature contained, things contained in the law, these having not the law, well, they're law unto themselves. You don't need to tell me who knows the Lord, because they do by nature. It's who they are. It's who they are. Is your belief but patterns and figures? Or are you made, remade, born again of the true, the Spirit of God with the mind of Christ? Do you see the glorious difference? The glorious difference in these two covenants. Do you see it? I can't make you see it. I can't make you hear it. I don't even know that I can offer it. But it's there. Salvation is of the Lord. And that yearning, that call, it comes from God, not from man. And he puts within you, if you're his, eventually you're going to look up and go, Abba, Father. And it'll be finished. Do you see? It sure smooths the waters of Leviticus 23. Amen. Amen.